This is Phil Farrand.
And I am driving home. It's Thursday today, and I am actually driving home. So, Dustin took his final for the semester. And we're starting this off. His final for the semester for his paramedic stuff. And so that means he's out of classes now until like June 10th. So my Tuesdays and Thursdays just got freed up. I actually had breakfast with a buddy this morning. We've been skipping breakfast for the last couple of months because they're happening on Thursday. I will be taking Aiden to breakfast again tomorrow. So that's been working out fine. So we'll go have pancakes. So... He likes pancakes. So we're going to go do that tomorrow. It is classic movie day tomorrow. But anyways, so we rolled out one of the big deployments that we've been working on for multiple months. I had my stuff done for it pretty much last October, November. But there was a lot of stuff to build in the API, and George has many responsibilities. So I got my stuff taken care of and toddled off to other things, and he got the API put together. And then when new requirements popped up, which we had several new requirements pop up, I just took care of them as they came on the database side, and then George put them in on the API side, and you know, we took a couple of runs at it, corrected some things. I had a couple of bugs and things. Once we got everything powered up to do the big load, you know, there were some things that showed up we had to deal with, but that all seems to be working now. And so we you know, we missed some of the setup data because we had discussed it and got it sort of halfway set up, and then we were talking about how to do the rest, and then we got pulled off on other things, and George thought it was done. And when he, you know, mentioned something about people were already taking courses today, I was like, well, we don't have the courses set up. And he said, what? So we ran and did that today real quick and got it done. And we're using this really cool thing, which this isn't going to mean much to people who aren't technical, but it's a very cool thing. There's a service called HookDeck that when people are doing web calls, webhook calls to you, you can route them to HookDeck as opposed to routing them directly to your stuff, and then HookDeck will route it onto you. And you might think, well, why would we want something in between that? Because HookDeck is all set up to where if it fails, it'll try again so many times. And then also, if it comes through, doesn't matter whether it succeeds or fails, you can go back in and rerun stuff. And you can do it in bulk. So we had all these calls coming into us because people hopped on. It was a learning management system we stood up. Or we stood up the API between us and the learning management system, loaded thousands of missionaries onto it, sent emails out to them and said, hey, it's up. And people have jumped on just in the last 2 or 3 days. I think last I checked before I left, we had 167 courses that had been completed. They're not complicated courses, but, you know, they are requirement courses, and people are hopping on and completing them, and we're shuttling the information through, and et cetera, et cetera. So, hey. Anyways, so, you know, that's all good and well. So that seems to be working, and we had one final little conditional thing that we had to set up before I left, and I at least have all the data in for it. Now, whether that conditional is working or not, we didn't have time at the end of the day to actually do a test, but we'll do a test on Monday. Seems to be working. So all in all, it's been a good week. We've got things done that we need to get done. And with this week concluded, it means there are 5 weeks, no, 6 weeks more before I go to halftime. So booyah. So that's good. Writing is coming along fine. I'm in the middle of chapter 11, and it's good. I know where I'm going. And that all seems to be going along okay. And, you know, I know how things are proceeding, so we'll see how many loop-de-loops we can take. What does President Trump call it? The weave? Does he call it the weave where he kind of goes off on tangents and comes back and goes off on tangents? So I have quite a bit of that in my writing, purposefully so. So that's going fine. Costumes are going fine. I'm working on the final little pieces. Well, what I think is the final little pieces of the, of the outfit of the day costume. So I think what I'm doing at this point is I've got the inflatable toy thing worked out. So I think that's all good. I have to practice actually getting it onto my head in an environment where there's space for me to be 10 feet tall. But aside from that, I think the upper part's working, and then I've got fake little pearl strings that I'm hanging little small fuzzy toys, bears and fish and dinosaurs off of. And those, I'm going to drape those off my arms with elastic straps, you know, so will sort of look like, you know, long tassels, because this is a high fashion piece. High fashion. So I think that's pretty much going to be it. There's going to be this giant headdress that's all inflatable pool toys, and then I'll have these little plushies hung off my arms. There will be 144 of them, I believe, by the time it's all said and done. So, is it 144? I think so. There's 16 strands of 9 each, which I believe is 144. So, that's going to be fun. And I have boots. I have platform boots to wear with it. So that's going to make me even taller. Oh, man. I am working on the theory with this. I think I mentioned multiple weeks ago that I have always found it fascinating that there are unexpected reactions to certain costumes. And of those costumes, Big Wig Day is one of them, and then The Lion King is one of them, because both of those feature some kind of tight bodysuit, full bodysuit, with nothing to obscure any of the curves or anything. And the Big Wig Day is actually latex that's been shined up. And yet, from men and women with those two costumes, I get, hey, great costume. Which I don't get on some of the other costumes that could be judged more quote-unquote feminine. And my theory is that the reason that that happens is because both of them have very large distortions at the top of my head, so that the profile, the silhouette of the costume, has a large distortion on my head. With The Lion King, it's the big puppet head. With Big Wig Day, it's the big wig. But both of them, at a casual glance, present a profile that is very top-heavy. And the fact that it's very top-heavy means that the triggers are not as triggered in the reproductive system to identify me as a tool that might be used to help control sperm count. Even though visually and rationally, a viewer could still interpret that I'm wearing a tight bodysuit. But I think having that visual distortion up on top of my head delays the conclusion that I am a potential tool just long enough that it does not trigger a dopamine response because of the possibilities. Since it does not trigger a dopamine response, there is less of a disgust response once there is a second look and it's, wait a minute, that's a guy. So I'm relying on that same theory for this OOTD day. That because I have these huge inflatable toys on my head, resting on my shoulders and going up, you know, above my head, the first thing that attention is going to be drawn to is going to be that giant giraffe that's on top of my head. That's going to put me out of context for a tool, having me out of context for those few moments will slow down the dopamine response. Slowing down the dopamine response means there won't be as much of a disgust response when the evaluation is done, oh, that's a guy. The only difficulty to this theory is I will be wearing platform boots. And they do have a little bit of elevation on the heel for them. And so that does give the illusion that my legs are longer than they are. And so there might still be some overtones there. And the boots might give some overtones. But we'll see. We'll see what kind of reactions I get. We'll see, you know, when I'm laughing with people and looking them in the eye, what kind of responses they're having. So it's just an additional little experiment that we're running. But it'll be fun. That is actually going to happen the end of June, I think it is. I think it's the last weekend in June. I'm pretty sure it's the last weekend in June. So I'm, you know, I'm 5-6 weeks away from OOTD day, which is fine because I should be able to get that finished up perhaps this weekend even. Throw the whole thing on, see how it looks, see if I'm done. Because the advantage will be if I can get it done this weekend, then I can switch over and grab the Marvin the Martian Day helmet out of the basement, the 25-pound Marvin the Martian helmet. And I can get that torn apart and start rebuilding that with a better outer shell, because the outer shell I used was from a yoga mask, and it's heavier than it needs to be. A, it's heavier than it needs to be, and B, it didn't take paint very well. And so I painted the inside of that thing black, and it was that gommy, never actually gets dry type thing that just not good. So I'm going to see if I can get that thing out of the basement, get the outer shell ripped off of it, remade with regular EV foam, high density EV foam, and then paint that. Hopefully, you know, it'll come out a little better. and then have that ready to go for the end of July, I think it is. And hopefully this year, it won't flop over in the van and cause a problem. So I have to take the seat out of the van again. It just barely fits in the side of the van. I mean, just barely. But it's fun. Everybody enjoyed the Marvin the Martian costume last year, even if it was a pain and I only could keep it on for like 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I just did a walkthrough because it's so big and awkward. But hopefully this year all my strings will work and I'll be able to make Marvin the Martian mad and make his eyes move and, you know, do all that kind of stuff. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun. So that's why I want to get OOTD done. And then as soon as I get that done, then I'm going to turn around and I'm actually going to start working on Mr. Potato Head, which is for Potato Day, which is coming up, I think, in August. And I will probably have to buy myself a 3D printer for that and take the regular Mr. Potato Head model and expand it up big enough so that it'll reach from my neck to the bottom of my torso. And make some modifications and then slice it up with centering pins and get that done and have a flap in the back to where I can crawl into it and all that stuff. This is going to be a new adventure with 3D printing. So I expect I will need whatever extra time I have. So I would hope to have Marvin the Martian ready to go by mid-June, and then that would give me, you know, a full 2 months to figure out the 3D printing stuff and the slicing of the 3D model. So we'll see. We'll see. Lots of interesting stuff. No real topic this week, aside from to say that I'm just grateful, always grateful for God's kindness and His help, and, you know, how we just keep moving forward one step at a time. Just one step at a time. And we did hear this last week that we do have Aiden available to go to Legacy Learning Center, so that's good. So that all worked out, and he will be starting that not next week, but the next week, because I believe next week is going to be the last week of public schools. And so then the final week of May, he'll be with Legacy Learning Center. I imagine he'll be with Net and I on the 27th Memorial Day, whatever Memorial Day is, 26th, I think, this year. And then we'll go from there. One of the things that is really fascinating, I mean, obviously, I've been listening to a lot of people talking about what they think is coming for AI and all those things, and it's just unbelievable, you know, what potentially is coming down the pike, because land almighty, it's, I mean, they're talking about stuff that's coming up fast, you know, they're talking about programming jobs disappearing. Completely disappearing by 2027. Because the AIs are already getting just pretty good. I mean, they're not absolutely reliable yet, but for everything that I do, it's all just the same stuff over and over and over again. And even the analysis of the data that exists, I have a very standard way of going through and analyzing data, and, you know, I don't see why, if you have any kind of an intelligent system, that system couldn't do what I do easily. So it's going to be very interesting to see where we end up with that. But, you know, there's inklings of it already. And there's inklings, frankly, of the general confusion that AI is going to cause. And I've said this before, but I will say it again. Right now, we as Christians, or just we as people who wish to retain our experience as rational human beings, we have to teach ourselves the habits of discernment. We have to. Because already there's too many things that can happen. One of the trends in the video generation things is in the scramble for companies to come up with the best video generators. They're starting to release all these models that don't have restrictions. In the beginning, there were restrictions. You had to be, you know, it would really be funny because if you would ask it to generate a video of a young woman, typically you would get a video of a young woman showing a considerable amount of cleavage. But if you would ask it to generate a young woman with cleavage, then it would say, I can't do that. Which is, you know, a bit ridiculous. But because the Chinese have been offering so many models with so much fewer restrictions in order to compete, what we end up with is American companies pulling restrictions off so that Chinese companies don't gain the upper hand. And that's just, you know, part of the competition of the marketplace. But all of that has meant that we are in uncharted territory when it comes to what is copyright infringement, what is fair use, etc., etc., etc. The costume, as I mentioned, that I have tomorrow is for Classic Movie Day, and it's the yellow zoot suit that Jim Carrey wore in The Mask. Well, you know, that's a situation where I wanted to remember what The Mask movie was like and what I could do with that. And so I rented the movie, and or I watched the movie, I can't remember. And, you know, it's fine. I mean, it's from 1994. So, you know. Different senses of humor, different visual effects, different, all those things. It is of its era. And it was fine. And I guess because I had done searches on YouTube for The Mask to see scenes from it, I had something pop in my list that was The Mask 3, first trailer. And I click on this thing, and it starts playing, and it's got Jim Carrey in it, and it's got, well, it's, but it is just terrible. I mean, terrible. The narrator's terrible. The acting is terrible. And I took, you know, 2 or 3 seconds worth of look at it, and I was just like, yeah, this is not. This is just AI. But if you're not paying attention, you might think there's a Mask 3 movie coming out. You know, never mind the fact that Jim Carrey has said he'd be interested in doing the Mask 3 if it had a good plot and a good director and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So as you search for information on Google, you get a lot of this information coming up that makes it sound like there's some movement on The Mask 3. And then in addition to this, you get these pings back from YouTube that are claiming to be the first trailer from The Mask 3. And I just wonder, okay, where does copyright infringement kick in here? you know, if it doesn't specifically say fan-generated trailer, and there's nothing, there's no disclosure on the front of it, you know, there's nothing to indicate that it's fake, aside from the fact it's coming from just some random account, but there's tons of movie trailers that are of the real movie that are released under just random accounts on YouTube. There's a lot that's going to have to be worked out in this. And the more that these engines allow us to generate this stuff, we're just going to be deluged with contents from books to poems to songs to movie trailers to movies. I mean, I'm going to try to do a little animated movie based on Grumpy Old Prophets. I mean, so now that's my own stuff. So there's that. But man, I mean, the stuff that's coming down the pike, and we have to train ourselves to just not react to everything we read or see. We have to train ourselves to pause and to say, really? Is this really? You know, because there's going to be a gajillion people out there that are just trying to get an emotional reaction out of us because it means they'll get a like and a click and they'll make money. And they will do whatever they have to do in that animated short or in that piece to get your eyeballs on it. So unless we're going to spend the next multiple decades of our lives just being flung about emotionally, we really need to get this under control. And as far as I'm concerned, the best way to get it under control is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.